So my thoughts have been turning because anticipating our communion service and thinking about the foot washing and this idea of purifying and our uncleanness. And I was somehow in my thought process, I had observed on Facebook, you know, those of us that do frequent Facebook, and there's an option to watch videos that somehow the algorithms thinks that you might be interested in. And as I was scrolling through in a bit of a dormant moment, I saw suddenly, I don't know if it was part of a compilation of little clips all in one video, but it had people doing sort of mundane things. And there was this guy, he looked like maybe an Asian or an Oriental kind of Chinese kind of guy, sitting there. And there was this conveyor belt of, I don't know what it was, it was sort of like bolts or something or other that were coming across on this conveyor belt at a very defined regularity. And as the conveyor belt was moving along, he was sitting there with his eyes shut, just flicking these things into a box that was sitting on his lap, just sitting there. Just continue. I don't know how long, I don't know if he was just doing it for those few seconds for the camera, and he was lucky enough that he didn't miss one. But just the mundane monotony, the repetition over and 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 over again. Got me thinking about the monotony of church. How, or if it is possible, that we can get into a bit of a routine. A bit like that conveyor belt. Sabbath in, Sabbath out. Over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And we just start going through the motions, maybe even with, at least metaphorically speaking, our eyes shut. Tap, 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 tap. Sabbath, 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 Sabbath. Is there something more that God is asking of us? Is there something more that we are missing out on just because we allow ourselves to get into that monotonous routine of Sabbath in, Sabbath out, Sabbath in, Sabbath out? I'd like to turn, or you to turn your books, Bibles, maybe turn your devices on to a scripture that maybe you're not so familiar with. It's just, if you find the Gospels, you turn back a little bit in the Old Testament, you'll find Zechariah chapter 13. And it's not too long a chapter, so I'll probably read the whole thing with you. Zechariah chapter 13. On that day, a fountain will be opened in the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and purity. Now, I'm actually going to jump the next few verses because it's talking about prophets and the prophets that haven't been telling the right things from God. But then verse 7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who is close to me, declares the Lord Almighty. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered, and I will turn my hand against the little ones. In the whole land, turn my hand against the little ones in the whole land, declares the Lord. I'm not reading it properly, am I? I need to get my eyes tested. And I will turn my hand against the little ones. In the whole land, declares the Lord, 2/3 will be struck down and perish. Yet 1/3 will be left in it. there's an idea that some will be left. A remnant, some of us might call it. Some will be left. Those that haven't been distracted by the prophets that have been proclaiming the things that aren't actually from God. This third I will bring into the fire. I will refine them like silver and test them like gold. That's why we sang the last song, Refine as Fire. They will call on my name and I will answer them. I will say, they are my people. And they will say, the Lord is our God. There is a refining, a realignment, even of the people that are there at the end. There still seems to be this act of purification. And if that is true, then it doesn't half make my mind wander and maybe smile or feel disappointed a bit in those that feel as though I can get pure and perfect now before God comes. Because this seems to suggest to me that there is a process, but God will make that purification act final at his return. So what does God want of us? Is it good enough just to, like that conveyor belt, pop along to church, stand up, sit down, do the right things? Maybe even in the first song that we sung, there's a bit of a repetition there, and that reminds me of the little sketch, the Mr. Bean sketch. Anyone can remember Mr. Bean? And the sketch where it seems to be sitting on the front row with the actor Richard Briers. And Richard Briers isn't really sharing his songbook, because they go to sing this song, and the whole little sketch is Mr. Bean trying to slip a sweet into his mouth without being seen. Anyone tried that before in church? You know, the sort of subtle scratch of the nose and a little slip of the something or other into your mouth. I won't ask who has done that and who has missed out, but that was what the sketch is all about, and trying to make light of this whole situation. But suddenly the music strikes up, and Mr. Bean is trying to see the words in the songbook and looking over at Richard Briers, and Richard Briers is keeping the songbook to himself. But Mr. Bean suddenly remembers, because there's a bit of a repetition, hallelujah, hallelujah. And so with great gusto, he sings out just that little bit. And then, of course, he doesn't know the words, so he's kind of mumbling away. And then, hallelujah, hallelujah. Just joining in on the bits that he can know and remember. There is a bit of a repetition, maybe a monotony. Is it possible that in our attempts to want to follow God, we allow ourselves into that repetition and monotony? And just at the right time, we burst out with a hallelujah, hallelujah. But then we slip back into the silence. Jesus got up during the mealtime. And the disciples who had set up the whole place had got ready the water jars and so on ready for washing people's feet. But because they'd had so many arguments about who was going to be the greatest, they were so concerned about themselves. I'm not going to wash their feet. I'm not going to wash their feet. I'm not going to wash. No one washed anyone's feet. And Jesus, their teacher, their rabbi, was the one that let it go and let it go until eventually he realized, now's the time that I'm going to teach them most. And he got up, put the towel around him, poured out the water, started washing, in a cleansing kind of way. Loses its significance a little bit with us in our socks and shoes or tights and heels type of attire nowadays. We don't really come in dusty roads. Depends how dirty your car is, I suppose. But nevertheless, we still enact this act of humility, recognizing that I am not greater than you and vice versa. That we need an act of purification, of cleansing, in order to keep ourselves in line with each other. But even with our foot washing, could it be that there is a bit of a monotony, a regularity, maybe even a regularity that some people don't want to be part of, and that's why they choose to skip church when it happens to be communion that week? What kind of purity enactment does God really want from us? If you turn your Bibles open to Psalm 51, a psalm, so it seems, that David had written after he had gone through a whole sequence of thinking more of himself than other people, more of himself than God, arranging for an opportunity of him being with another woman, and then arranging for that woman's husband to be unfortunately killed in action. Have mercy on me, O God. Psalm 51 starts. According to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Then comes the plea in the middle of the psalm. Create in me a pure heart, O God. God, too right. I mean, that's a big jump, David, from what you've just been participating in. But there is no scale of sinfulness as far as God is concerned. Sin is sin. So maybe I have to think about myself. I haven't done the things that David did. But why should I look at David differently just because I sinned differently to David? Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Rather than the monotony, the Sabbath in, the Sabbath out, what would it look like if we had more of that attitude? Maybe that can be our prayer today, that God will give us that attitude of coming after him continually. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation. Create in me a clean heart. And then I find it interesting, the kind of cleanliness that God is really looking for. We find it in verses 16 and 17. You do not delight in sacrifice. Could I put a different slant on that? Sacrifices are what God asked for, and there was a prescription as to how they were given and what was to happen. But God isn't asking for sacrifice in a monotonous kind of way. So it's not like God isn't asking for sacrifice, but it isn't the monotony that God is asking for. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifice of God, the sacrifices of God, are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. sitting there at the conveyor belt. Tap, 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 tap. The monotony of life. And maybe it's possible that the monotony of spirituality can be like that. Tap, tap, tap. Sabbath in, Sabbath out. Sabbath in, Sabbath out. God isn't looking just for the monotony of routine of our spirituality. God is looking for that brokenness of heart. That's where we get our purification. When we come to God, we say, we need you. Not to wash our whole body again, but Jesus, would you wash my feet? So as we participate in this act of communion today, let us remember what Jesus did as an example, but what Jesus did also in order to purify us in the temporal, but also in the not yet. There's a book that's a bit of a compilation. It's called The Story of Redemption. And right at the end of this compilation, the last lines read like this. The story is depicting the whole plan of salvation, Jesus coming again and the doing away of all sin and selfishness. And the last lines say, sin and sinners are no more. God's entire universe is clean, and the great controversy is forever ended. There is a purification that is not yet. There is a purification that has been. And we live in this time of continual growth and purification and cleaning. The now and the not yet, the yet to come. As we participate in our communion today, may we remember what God has done, what God has promised to do for us on his return. And just as a final comment, when we think about, well, I realize, Nathan, that maybe there's more that I need to do in my life, but what is the minimum that I need to do in order to get right with God? The minimum time that you can spend with God is always more than the amount that you are giving now.